I'm Mike Wallen. I got next.
You next up and you ain't been on Sports Like Talk? Like, what are you doing? Hey, you better hit him up. Look, you breaking next and you up next. Kings and queens go hard. Rise a star on the big scene, make them know who you are. You don't break a sweat, don't settle for less. They put you through that test, your resume that flex. Who got next? Who got next? SLT, ready, set, go. Who got next? Who got next? Living my dreams and all your goals. Who got next? Who got next? You can ask B. Jones or head coach. Who got next? Who got next? You next up, so here's my vote. Chill.
Dreams, and today we got a big dream, a big personality. Man, I'm so excited to do this show, Kevin. I don't know. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Below me, I got my guy from Process to Perform, former NFLer, former Pro Bowler. Hey, speaking of walls, Kevin, we literally got a wall in the building today. Mike Wall, how you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Man, we glad you came. Well, check this out. If this is your first time checking out the show, I am your host, the mouth of the South, B. Jones, the Louisiana animal, Mr. Yeet himself, rocking alongside of my brother from another mother, the co-host, the architect, the guru, the head coach, KT Kev. Man, how you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling great, man. This is about as close as I'm going to get to be to seeing the Green Bay Packers in person. So actually having this guy on the show. Hey, I'm ready to go, man. I got a Brett Favre jersey downstairs, as a matter of fact. So just to let you know,
Kevin. Yes. I may have to tell you my whole story. Green Bay. I actually went to a game in Green Bay, dog. They beat up on my Saints with Drew Brees, and I had the opportunity to go. But it's a crazy experience, man. We had to talk about.
I know. I'm glad that the Saints lost. So I'm really looking forward to hearing the story. So
that's right. 1265 Lombardi's different now, man. It's hard to get a win up there if you're a visiting team.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, check this out. If this is your first time checking out the show, first and foremost, me and Kevin want to say gracias. We want to say thank you so much for tuning in. We know you could have been anywhere, right? But you're giving us some time to tell these stories of real people, real conversations, real stories. And in order for us to keep that momentum, we got to ask you to do a small favor. Y'all know what time it is. We got to beat the algorithm. And in order to do that, we need your support. Green Bay Packers, all of my former NFL, y'all see the man. Y'all heard the stories. Y'all know what it's like on 3rd and 7. And you need somebody in front of you to protect you. And we got the man just for that. All right, Mike, are you ready for the Sports Like Talk initiation, sir?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
All right, Mike, to initiate you into the SLT family, you got to give us your top five music artists.
All right, top five music artists. Okay. Metallica, Rolling Stones, Wu-Tang Clan. Got Eminem, and I'm probably gonna take out right now Pantera.
I don't know much Pantera, Kev.
Pantera is like that walkout music when you were playing, like back in the day. If you were gonna walk out to anything, you wanted to walk out to Cowboys from Hell or something like walk. I mean, just in some angry music, right? Like bang your head against the wall music. It's not music you want to go to sleep with, that's for sure.
Yeah, so Pantera is new. We've had Metallica on the show before, but Pantera is new. All right, so who are your favorite sports teams?
Okay, so I grew up a Lakers fan. I'm not that much of a Lakers fan anymore, but obviously Green Bay Packers are my squad. Love the Seattle Seahawks as well. I stopped watching college basketball and football, man. It's like once I started playing pros, you start following people more than teams, right? So you start following your guys. And so wherever my guys are playing right now, I just try to follow them. But I'm a Packers fan for life, for sure.
All right, so who is your favorite super? Well, let me – have you ever did the Lambo leap before? Have you got a chance to do that?
No, not during the game, man. I'll tell you what, the only thing, the thing I've ever seen to a fat guy doing a Lambo leap, right? The right tackle for the Packers, Mark Tauscher, they ran a special play. He got the ball in the end zone. He went up and he did like a Shamu splash, not a Lambo leap, but he ran up where the rise was only about 4 feet tall, and he kind of slid up there like a killer whale. But then another dude, our teammate, Gray Rugerman, was offsides on the play, so they had to call it back. It's the closest thing I've ever seen to a fat guy getting a Lambo leap. Never me, though, man. Never me.
All right, so who was your favorite superhero and why?
Okay, my favorite superhero? Gosh, man, that's a great question, too. I'm going to say right now, my favorite superhero is probably that Wanda Maximoff lady right now, because
the Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. She got a little something to her, and I think she's like, I'm pretty sure that when the Marvel stuff comes out, she'd be the most powerful mutant. I just feel like she's the only one that's gonna like go through the what are they doing right now? The multiverse. I feel like she's the only one to go through the multiverse, be unaffected.
Well, Mike, just to let you know, they got the X-Men coming, so she's a top five. I don't think she's the most powerful. And you know who her dad is, right? Y'all know who her dad
is. It's the metal guy, Magneto, right?
Yeah, Magneto is her dad, so yeah.
No! They merging the X-Men with the kind of Avengers thing?
Yeah, they're going to, you know.
That's a multiverse thing, man. This multiverse, my kid's into it, so I'm just trying to learn because my kid's into it. And this, like, Dr. X is yours. Professor X is going to be in the next Doctor Strange movie. It's over my head.
All right. So since every good superhero needs their own theme music, what would your theme song be?
Okay. So that's it. Well, it's definitely not what Wanda. I'm not advocating this for Wanda Maximoff, but when I was growing up, I was a basketball player. And, you know, back in the day, everyone's trying to, you know, we used to make these mixtapes before we walk out music, right? So everybody would be playing either like hard, heavy metal, depending on where you grew up, or they'd be like, I was growing up in the 90s in Southern California. Everybody was playing rap and whatnot. I walked out to James Brown's Sex Machine. That's all I wanted to walk out to. So every time people didn't know what to think, I'd walk out to Sex Machine all the time. Get up.
Get up. Don't get up. Get up. Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace, James Brown, man. We lost a talented guy. All right, B. Jones. I think it's safe to say that Mike is in the family. So go ahead and take it away,
Kevin, brother. He was in the family at the beginning. Who was going to tell him he wasn't in the family? Who was going to stand in front of this massive man and tell him that he wasn't in the family? Nah. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show, man. We so excited. Hey, now I got the one thing I did take from that game out there at Lambeau was every time that like something big would happen, it would go doom 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 doom, and the crowd would go go back go. Did they do that when you were playing with the Packers?
Let me tell you something. I don't think they've changed the music or like all of those kind of like cheesy things. I don't think they've changed those in like 50 years. I think I heard last time I was out there, they were playing like some sort of relevant music during the timeouts, but all that stuff is still the same. Bow, 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 now, now. Yeah, they would just keep doing that over and over and over. They have, I can't even remember all the stuff now, but it was literally, they were stuck in a time loop there for a while.
Yeah, because so every time I do that, man, I need you to go, go, Pack, go. We need all SLT Nation to become Packers fans for this one episode. Nah, but let's start from the beginning, man. Where are you from originally, Mike?
I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in San Bernardino Mountains, which is like basically if you're driving from LA to Vegas, it's a mountain range to the south. Small town, had one stoplight, 30,000 people, you know, small school. We were Division VIII football program. So we came from a long ways from here to there, man. Long ways from here to there.
Yeah, and then you were able to accelerate your talents, and you went and played at the Navy. And, you know, the only person I know that came out of Navy is David Robinson, right? So the Admiral. So did you have to sit out and kind of follow that same path as he did before you were able to transition to the
pro? No. So there's a couple. So if you look at football, too, Roger Staubach, Napoleon McCallum. I don't remember McCallum. He played running back. He's that dude that split his knee the wrong way. He was playing for the Raiders.
Well, like, I remember Staubach, though. I remember Staubach.
Yeah. Both guys, great, unbelievable football players, unbelievable humans. But I actually left after my junior year at the academy. I was lucky. Ron Wolf was a general manager at the Green Bay at the time. And he's he's an Annapolis guy. So it was just one of those situations. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was very, very fortunate that a guy like that with a team like that, they'd just been out of two Super Bowls. And it just so happened the guy was – he liked military guys. So they brought me in. They gave me an opportunity. And they kept me around for a year or two when I probably didn't belong there and just kind of worked out.
Man. Now, so I hate to skip over all that important stuff of where you fell in love with football, but we got a limited amount of time and a ton of stuff to kind of unpack here. But let's talk about that, man. Let's jump right into the NFL career, man. It's 7 years with the Packers. Mm-hmm. It's a pitch out there with you and these other elite offensive linemen, and y'all got to protect one of the dopest quarterbacks to ever play in this game, man. Tell us a little bit about that experience of being a Packer, playing at Lambeau, and how you were able to just bring all that in. And what do you think when you look back at your career?
So Lambeau's next level. I think Lambeau's like Yankee Stadium for football guys, right? Like I think it's the mecca of football as far as professional stadiums go, and the atmosphere is right. It's downtown. I mean, Like, listen, if you for people that have been there, when you're tailgating, I've never tailgated before until last year. I went to a game last year. You start tailgating, going out, hanging out with the fans and whatnot, and you're like, man, we are really in a neighborhood. Like, there's backyards literally right at the end of the parking lot. It's like you never seen anything like it. It is just such an incredible atmosphere, incredible opportunity. The organization is first class. I got lucky, man. I came in. They had just been in two Super Bowls. Now, think about this locker room, guys. You guys are football fans, right? So on the offensive side, you got Brett Favre. You got Antonio Freeman, Robert Brooks, Mark Chimura, Frank Winters. You got guys, right? Defensive side. Let me list off some guys. Here's the guys I had to see day one, okay? Reggie White.
Ooh,
Santana Dotson. Gilbert Brown.
Gilbert.
Bonnie Holiday. Vaughn Booker. Nardo Harris, right? Leroy Butler. After his third contract, he went from Leroy to Leroy. he was Leroy when I met him, man. He's Leroy now. He's a Hall of Famer. Congratulations. We had so many guys on that side that when you get into a place like that and the way they handle themselves on the field, the way they handle themselves in the locker room, the way they think about preparation, you can't help but be just fundamentally changed in how you go about your business. I mean, they weren't speaking to me directly, but just you trying to absorb all the information you can by the way these people conduct themselves because they've had so much success. Man, there's a lot of Hall of Famers in that locker room.
Yes, it is, man. And I got to ask you, because I was as a little kid, I fantasized about this as a chubby kid growing up in Louisiana. Did you get the opportunity to eat the Gilbert Brown burger? That's what I want to know.
You talking about the Whopper?
Oh, well, it was supposed to be. They did a little special on it.
Oh, the Great Digger. Green Bay, Wisconsin had the Grave Digger. It was at Burger King, limited time only during the season, and you could buy. I don't remember what. It was basically like a 4x4 or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. It was like four or five patties. Yeah, it was something crazy.
Listen, that place. It just shows you. There's not another city in the country that loves their team like Green Bay loves their team, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. But the short answer to that is yes. Of course, I had a burger. I was 300 pounds at the time.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you, man. I need you after this. I need you to tell me what you did, brother, because you were big swole back when you look at the when you look back when you was wearing the green and gold and some of the other teams, man. You was 68 was a big man.
Yeah, I tell you what. I look at myself in the mirror now and I just hate what I see. I wish I was big still. I miss being big, man. Being a big strong guy is fun. But walking upstairs, you know, like walking upstairs and sweating doesn't feel too good either. So I'm trying to kind of balance it out as much as I can right now.
Well, every year about this time they go into the draft. We always talk about the Wonderlic. Who's doing the combine with the Wonderlic and all of this stuff here? And I know you came through those times, but one thing that's always said after those assessments, they say like the smartest people on the football field are the offensive linemen. Kevin, you heard that too? The smartest guys are the offensive linemen. So yeah, I saw an article about you written in 2021 where it was talking about how you branded yourself on the field, off the field, how your business acumen and starting to entrepreneurship started long before you called it into your career, man. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your transition from being a Pro Bowler. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This dude was one of the most elite at the time to becoming a successful businessman.
Well, you know, I was looking at it this way, guys. I think athletes are entrepreneurs. Right, I think athletes are just—they're just mini entrepreneurs, and their body of work, their product is really what they put out on the field, right? So I just kind of look at things that way, and once you adopt that kind of mindset, you understand like everything you're putting into your body, all the work that you're doing, or the way that you go about your business, the way you study, like being really detail oriented. I just think that really translates into other areas of your life, right? And it's just a question of can you find something? Can you find something that gets you out of bed that's exciting enough to replicate the level of effort that you had when you were playing ball? Because listen, guys who are lucky enough to play ball, listen, I wanted to do this. I always tell people, I wrote a paper when I was in third grade that I was going to be a professional athlete. My teacher like gave me the paperback, told me to write something that's more realistic. I was like, I'll take the bad grade. Like I, that's what I was going to do, right? I didn't have people always talk about plan Bs and all this and that. Like, man, most of us didn't have a plan B. This is what I was going to do. And so you got to find something else to wake you up in the morning. And I went into finance and I was in that world for a while. I was worked with a hedge fund, and it's mass great, super exciting. Like it's a very competitive business, but you're now going up against people at the top level that have the same passion for doing that I did playing football. And I was like, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense, man. I should just have them do this work, and I need to find something that I really gets me going, right? And for me, right, that was right. Like when you get old, I got a busted shoulder. I can't do what I used to do, but I can transfer information and help people that are committed to the cause, aspiring athletes, families of aspiring athletes. Like I can help them become elite. I can help them develop that tool set to become elite. So I started doing that in the NFL, working with some teams and eventually being a skill development specialist, the first one in the National Football League. Worked with, and then consulted with some teams after that. But really now I work privately. I work with pro athletes all the way down to preteens. And we just work on, for me, it's three things, guys. Mindset development, tactical mastery, and ownership decisions, which are lifestyle choices in the best interest of future you. And I do that through my Process to Perform platform. I have a player development podcast, Process to Perform. We have a total athlete development platform where I work specifically with athletes on those three themes. Then I also have a coach's masterclass I call Perpetual Mastery that I help high school coaching staffs in particular kind of develop that tool set to run their organization the way that they need to in order to develop their staff, to create their organizational culture, develop their way of doing business, and of course, end up giving them the most back to their players so their players can get to where they want to go.
Now, so you spend a lot of time. What kind of demographic is this going to be? Like, hey, the kids that are in college, and you're trying to give them these techniques or this knowledge, or are these going to be players who are trying to find a similar path to yourself? Maybe it was a 2-year career in NFL. Maybe it was a 10-year career, but you're trying to help them to, kind of manage that portion and then move on to the other parts of their career or other parts of their life. Who is this process to perform really built for?
Yeah, great question. I've worked with 12-year-olds all the way up to professionals, right? And it's all different sports. It's confrontational sports for me. So if there's ever going to be a situation where there's me versus you, there's movement patterns that are involved, right? So if you look at sports, at the end of the day, what is your value as an athlete in a team sport? Like my value really is, we can talk about scheme and offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators being really popular now. You know them on the first name basis. But it really comes down to, can I win my 1v1 matchup? Can I beat you? If I can beat you, I'm valuable. So with that, we use that as the basis for everything that we move off of, right? So we develop what we call technical mastery. We use our technical mastery to teach us, in the process of that, to teach us all of these lessons and these lifestyle choices that help us become the best version of us. Whether that's going to be starting on the varsity team, whether that's getting a college scholarship, renewing the next pro contract, whatever that looks like for you, whatever your ceiling is, like I just know that I know for a fact that I'm a result of a lot of people's failure. There were a lot of people that were better than me that didn't have the tool set to be successful. There's something about my makeup and the way I was. There's something that I had that helped me kind of persevere past some of this stuff. Maybe it was just resilience. But some of these guys that had it better than me were more athletic, had a better shot, better club or better high school programs. But when they get to a certain spot, they tap out because they don't know how to deal with the situations they're facing. There's nobody to help them. I don't want to see that. I want to give people who are really committed and want this, but just don't have the tool set to be to find the success that they want. I want to be able to help those people, right? And that's why I developed the platform.
Man, 11-year career. Anybody should be listening to you. To be in the NFL for 1 year is like lightning striking, right? But to play in the NFL for 11 years is like absolutely crazy. I always wondered this. This is just a little fun question. You walked into a championship locker room when you went into Green Bay, and I hear rumors of what the Cowboys, how they used to behave at the time, and the Raiders. I've heard some stories about
the Raiders. The White House?
I heard about all kind of crazy stories. Now, you're a big social media guy. Like, how crazy would it have been to have had this many platforms and this much exposure back in the 90s when you were playing, man? How detrimental or how enlightening would that have been for you?
For me personally? Okay, so being in Green Bay is different already, right?
Yeah, because
small towns, maybe not so much now because of social media, but you got to think, like, the police force in Green Bay worked for the Packers. I'm talking about literally when they were off hours, they were our security guys.
Right, right.
So we knew most of them. So now you just start thinking about, okay, what kind of situations could have happened in a bigger city that probably didn't happen there? I'll leave it at that, right? But now you think about social media has net hurt athletes. I think it's helped them brand themselves, okay? But I also think that the product that we're putting out on the field, on the court, isn't necessarily what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is because we've taken the, attention away from the thing. Like, the thing is to be the best you can, not to show everybody how good you are, right? On, like, with a staged tweet or TikTok or whatever it is, right?
Right.
But I'll tell you this, the one thing that I wish I would have done is, because when I was, like, I felt the preparation. I get my confidence from preparation. That's why I teach athletes. So you got to get your confidence from preparation. Only confidence that nobody can take away from me. So we used to work out in the off season, even during the regular season, but during the off season, I don't think you would believe how hard we worked unless you saw it. And so I have all these ledgers and papers. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about me and my crew, my guys, right? And if we could have somehow recorded that and made it and put it in history and social, whether it was social media or just whether it was something we could pass along and just be able to show people and give people that information, I think that would have been kind of net fun for us, obviously, but also beneficial for a lot of these young guys trying to figure out what exactly it takes to get to that level where you feel like, hey man, I'm going to be able to retire from this game and not look back, not feel like, not have any regrets. Like, I gave it all I could.
Man, that's super dope. I'm going to have to go check out your podcast a little bit more, because I want to know your takes on mental health. There's so many, the rule changes and how much has evolved in the sports and NFL. But I want to talk to you about the last one. And this one is hitting home with me recently, right? A couple of episodes ago, we had a young lady who was a journalist, and she talked about loving the games that don't love you back. And one of the things that caught my attention was kind of the Rooney rule, right? It's starting to really irritate me being African American. I invest so much into the NFL, from talking NFL, fantasy football. It's like my life is centered around football from you know, basically late summer, because it don't start in when they get to, you know, we follow football from the point you guys report to OTAs, right? So how did you see it, or how has it impacted you, or what did you see coming up with these African American head coaches not being afforded these same opportunities, or do you think there's some justification to this, you know, this epidemic in which it seems like African American head coaches don't get the same type of shelf life?
Okay. So the shelf, there's a lot to unpack, obviously. Right. And I think if you were looking at it from a behavioral scientist point, I think we all know what the problem is, right? The problem is that people tend to hire, be around people that are like themselves, right?
Right, right.
So we can kind of shelf that. Like, we know what the problem is. At least that's a part of the problem, right?
Majority.
Yeah, but here's what I've just never been able to understand. This is the only sport, honestly, if you kind of look at soccer, basketball, all these other major sports in the world, in the United States, there are so many former players who run general managers.
Yes.
On-field coaches. You would say 70, 80% are former players.
Correct.
And so you go, okay, what is that number in football? It's not anywhere near that. I'm talking about big time players, right?
Right.
And so now you go, now 80% of the league is black. Now it really doesn't make any sense, does it, guys?
It don't make no sense.
That's where I always go back to. I'm like, it feels like they've almost changed the narrative at the top, going like, we don't even bring in former athletes. Because I'll tell you right now, as a former athlete, it's not, I mean, I tell you, guys want to get into the league. There's athletes that want to coach that can't get in, right? Because it's all about who you know, and you know, is there a fear that this athlete is going to steal the room? Because players are going to listen to them because they have that experience. And if there's that part, but you also, if you'd be silly not to look at the racial undertones of, is there another reason why we're not hiring athletes, right? Because all of a sudden you start doing the math. It's like, man, there should be a lot more candidates out there. And the other point that I'd make is, and I saw, we just saw that the two gentlemen just joined up. Coach Flo's lawsuit, right? And one of the deals, Steve Wilkes was talking about, you get 1 year in Arizona, and then Cliff Kingsbury. Well, first of all, they give the general manager time an extension that year. Kingsbury goes 5-10. They don't fire him. I'll say this, because here's the problem. Every situation is unique. Now, you guys remember in 1999, we had, now it's just driving me insane, Ray Rhodes.
Ray Rose. Oh my goodness, yes. Ray Rose was off the chain.
Ray Rhodes was a phenomenal, like he was such a what you would call him a player's coach. But he was a player's coach to the point that like he would pull you out of meetings to play dominoes and talk and see how you're feeling it. So there was this dynamic where we weren't performing well. It wasn't the same attention to detail as it had been with Mike, because Mike was very attention to detail. He was teacher first and all this kind of stuff. So that situation, because we didn't even talk about it back then, right? It wasn't like, Ray's black, Ray got a year. Like nobody thought about it, but it's happened enough now, right? I guess my point is you have to look at each situation. Was it warranted? Was it not warranted? Right? But then when you look at on the whole, it's really not about whether they were fired or not. It's like, why isn't everybody else? As long as the standard's equal, fair enough, right? Like if your standard for your team is playoffs, you don't make the playoffs, you get fired. That's what happens in soccer every year. You go over to the English Premier League, man. If you're Chelsea and you lose like two games, three games in a row, you're going to get fired.
Yes, you are.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Yeah. So as long as the standard was the same, I think that's the hard part with the. For me, listen, if you got to make a rule, and you do, but if you have to make a rule, the Rooney Rule was necessary. When you have to make a rule, inevitably, the people who think they live above the law anyways, like the laws don't apply to them anyways, they're going to find ways to
beat that rule.
Beat or belittle that rule, right? And I think I don't know what you guys think, but that's what's always just kind of the way my mind thinks about it.
Man, I cannot believe he brought Ray Rhodes back. Oh my goodness, that's
Ray was great, man. He was great, man. He would call me out because my coach hated me, right? My line coach, he did not like me. He was trying to bench me, and so Ray would call me out, and he'd be like, "Hey, man, Mike, let me get at you." We go down, we like play dominoes or something like that. He'd be like, "Hey, just so you know, you make a mistake. Like Beck's going to try to bench you this week. He's been trying to bench you for 4 weeks." He's like, "So don't make any mistakes." I'd be like, "Hey, thanks." And we, I loved him, right? I loved the dude, but.
Nah, you know what? There's a balance. It's somewhere in there that there is a performance indicator, right? There are different management styles, and we have the Rooney Rule in NFL, but if I opened up my own, car detail shop or whatever, right? I would have certain standards and things that I would expect to happen, even if I hired no matter what the color of that race was. But it's on you, Kevin. It's on you, man. We're running out of time. I know I talked a long time.
No, man. Hey, you're a football fan. We're both football fans, but you know, you're diehard. I am too, BJ. I'm not giving you any more credit, man. All right, so let me ask you one quick question, Mike. With your first game check, what did you buy?
Ooh.
Okay, so here's what happened. So I never had more than $500 in my bank account because at the Naval Academy, you're not a scholarship kid. You're an employee of the United States government, right? So I had like $500 in my bank account. That's all the money I'd ever had. So I get this check. I got a signing bonus check. And the first thing is I called my dad and I was like, man, they took like half of it. He's like, yeah, fool. Like that's what they do. It's the government. So I signed like 4 weeks into training camp. I held out. So I didn't sign for like 4 weeks into training camp. So when I got there, my parents came up and they're like, hey, don't worry. I rented a duplex and they're like, we'll outfit it for you. Like we'll get a TV. And because I had nothing, right? So my dad went out, and my dad, he spent like $28,000 on like beds and stuff, which in 1998 dollars, like I think that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was a lot of money for me, right? It's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot of money, right? And this dude is spending $300, $400 on his pillow. Like he was spending $400 on his pillows. I was like, man, did you really spend $400? He goes, I didn't spend $400 on your pillow. I spent $400 on my pillow. He's like, it's payback time. So my first paycheck, or that first time I ever got paid, I was basically went to my parents, like, go at it. Like, go ahead and buy whatever you want. I had a 60-inch TV. I'm like, man, do I need all this? He's like, no, I did.
That's pretty cool that you was close with your mom and pops and they was able to come up.
We're still super close. Yeah, we spent a lot of time with them.
All right, B. Jones, it's that time, man.
All right. Well, let's do it. Mike Wall, welcome to the championship rounds. This is the part of the show where Kevin and I, we go compete against each other. It's that 1v1, right, Kevin? Who going to win the matchup? And we play a game called championship rounds. Now, have you ever played the game called Would You Rather?
Yes.
Okay, this is our version of Would You Rather. So both hosts will present two options to you. You select one of those options, and that host will gain a point. The first host to get 2 points, or the best out of three, will win this episode's game of championship rounds. Kevin is season one champion as well. He is currently winning season two, 22-20. So we still early in the year, though. I feel like it's April. Mike, I got a good chance to come back, and I'm probably going to win this year, just so y'all know. Cliff notes. What do you call it? When somebody cheating.
You're priming me right now. We teach this, man. You're priming me to vote.
I am priming you, man, because I need that love, right? Doom, doom,
doom, doom, doom. Oh, my God. Go.
I said I had the Brett Favre jersey downstairs. Is that good enough for you, B. Jones? I got the Brett Favre jersey downstairs right now.
Man, should be front and center.
Exactly, should have been on camera. All right, Mike. All right, Kevin. KT, you know, you the leader right now, man. You were the last winner of the game, so I'll let you kick this thing off.
And don't think I don't remember you trying to take a shot at my Cowboys early in the show too, BJ. Yeah. So,
we didn't even get into that.
But yeah, I heard how y'all going. Born and raised in Dallas, man. It's like a rite of passage down here. All right, yeah, so would you rather have a scholarship named after you, or
would you rather have an NFL or any type of award named after you? The Mike Wall Award.
NFL Award, no doubt.
My guy. Yeah, no doubt. This is my guy.
I'm pro. Hey, listen, education's important, but
I get it.
That's one school out of like 1,000, man. It's like, and there's only one NFL.
I get it, Mike. He's already primed you. He's already been begging. Yeah. So I understand.
All right, let's go round two, Kevin. Here we go. All right, Mike, would you rather go back to kindergarten with everything you know now, or
know now what your future self will learn?
Ooh, that's tough.
Honestly, that's pretty easy for me. I go back to kindergarten. Because I killed it in high school, man. I do high school all over again. I'd do it 10 times if you want me to. I loved it.
Hey, Mike, that's what we call game time. Yeah,
but we still got another question, B. Jones. You know, you're not humble. That's why I hate when you win. Mike, this is on you, Mike.
That makes us going up to Lambeau and taking that whooping by the Packers even better, man. Because now I got a Packer whooping a Cowboy on this show. Here we go, round number three and the last one, Mike. Would you rather have everyone to have access to your internet history, or
have everyone you know be able to read your thoughts?
Oh, I think read my thoughts, man. I definitely go with read my thoughts.
Well, yeah, Mike, it didn't.
No, I appreciate you doing that. So I didn't.
You got to think like rationally, right? Everybody reads your thoughts. Like, I'm not trying to hide anything, anyways, right? That you think about how many funny experiences you'd have walking down a supermarket aisle, and everybody knew what you was thinking. Oh my! That's a movie right there, right? That's amazing.
Hey, right. Well, we still, you know, somebody had to win, and. And the crowd goes crazy. The roar of the champions is 22-21. Kevin, I'm coming back. I'm going to get that sweet little
girl. Especially when you beg before the segment starts. So, yeah, go ahead, man.
Show the fans the belt, Kevin. Why don't we do that? Why don't we show
everybody? Why would I show a belt and I lost? That makes zero sense.
All right, Mike. Well, the title of the show is called You Got Next. Man, you've already had an illustrious career, right? You've already done a lot of things and have been able to achieve a lot. But we see that you still got a lot of big things popping right now. You're bubbling up with Process to Perform. You got a podcast. But, you know, if those individuals were to jump on and start following you right now, what does the future hold for you?
I just want to build out Process to Perform, see how many people I can kind of really get out there and reach. We have a new coaching platform on there. I think it's going to be – I put some high school coaches from California through the sessions a couple of weeks ago, and I think we got great feedback, right? So for me, I'm just super interested in helping athletes that, you know, that are committed to the cause, helping their families get to where they want to go, and I love that part of the process. I'm doing a little more, I think, on the media side as far as – I'm going to talk a little more about football here as it comes up in the offseason. I did a lot of it this year, but I think we might get into a little more of like studio time and whatnot, hopefully. So maybe a little bit more media. But, man, I'm just trying to build this thing out and make sure that, you know, kids out there, athletes out there that have the commitment but don't necessarily have the tools set, man, we can help.
All right. So besides Instagram, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, just Twitter, MikeWall68. That's it. W-A-H-L-E, MikeWall68. I'm not really on anything else. I wasn't on social media when I was playing. I wasn't on it for until probably 2-3 years ago, man. You know, I was always a guy, man. I wanted to work out. I love this. I love working out. I love playing football, and I wanted to hang out with my wife and my friends. And that's it. That's all I wanted to do. That was my life. That's what makes me happy. So I haven't changed that much, man. I want to do this stuff, but you know, it's like you guys, you're on social media because it's a great way to outreach. But when I was younger, man, you hitting that flip phone when you got to hit, yeah, got to get that W by hitting the button twice and stuff, man. That's where I'm coming from. So it felt like a lot of work.
Hey, and his Twitter is on the page, Kev. I put that on the overlay just so people, because his Twitter page is actually pretty impactful. Had an opportunity to check him out. So yeah, go check out his Twitter as well as his IG.
And do you have any shout outs that you want to give?
Yeah, man, I'm gonna shout out Everest, man, who got me on with you gentlemen. This has been great. Listen, shout out. I'm gonna be having Andy Herman on my show next week. He's gonna help us with the draft on the On My Block podcast with Amon Green. Shout out to Amon. And then obviously the Austin FC kids are gonna be out in Dallas Cup. My son plays for Austin FC, so good luck to those boys here to coming up next week at the Dallas Cup.
Well, Mike, you're going to be here. You know, we're from DFW. The show is hosted right here out of DFW, man. We got to link up, man.
We're out there all week, man. We got to
hook up. All right. We got to do some steaks and potatoes on Kevin. I'm excited.
Yeah, on the teacher salary, good luck with that. Good grief. All
I'll
right,
bring
Mike.
The steak. I'll bring the steaks. You bring the enthusiasm.
Ooh, that's one thing I'm full of.
All right. So, Mike, this is part of the show where you get a chance to call out the person who should have next. Tell them, hey, I got a chance to rock with B. Jones and KT. I told them my story. I want you to do the same. With that said, who are you giving your game ball to?
Oh, no question. You guys should get Amon Green on here. He's great. Oh,
man, that would be a dream come true.
Yes, it would. AG's great.
I'd be happy to do it. Listen, the thing about AG, he is – so as good as he was, I think for the time he was playing, it was him and Priest Holmes or 1-1A, best backs in the league. Right?
Yep.
And now he is an esports coach at Lakeland University.
Really?
He does all this other stuff. He's on social media. He's still involved with the Packers. He does a lot of media signings and whatnot for him. But he is an esports. He's a gamers coach, and he runs a gamers podcast. And so it's just like for me, I got some guys that went into the business world. I got guys that went into football. This is the only guy I know that actually made a transition into this esports deal, which I didn't. You know, I don't know about you guys. I wasn't sure it was going to be a thing, right? But it's a real thing, and they're killing it. And he's kind of at the forefront right now, and he's got a college team as an esports coach. It's pretty cool, man. He's a great chat.
Yeah, that's super dope. All right. Any other shout outs? No more shout outs?
You guys, honestly, that's about it, man. I mean, unless somebody's trying to give me concert tickets, that's about it.
Sports Life Talk Nation. Oh my God. One more game. We did it. That thing was hot. I enjoyed it. I'm going to have to watch this show back, Kevin, just so I can hear him talk, because I've been kind of starstruck the whole time talking football, man. Mike, do you watch the football games right now and you're like, it kind of irritates you to see some of the stuff that they're doing right now?
Yes. Listen, there's nothing I love more than watching football, but sometimes you feel like you barely recognize the sport, the way they've changed it, right? I just don't think that – it's just one reason I got into the business, right? I came back into football. I was out for 5 years, and I came back in. I went into a locker room, and I realized, there's a lot of stuff going on with football in the way that we prepare that, and the way that we're bringing these kids up, that they're just not as detail-oriented, as resilient. I mean – the difference between a really good player and everybody else, I think that gap has gotten bigger. Guys have got to figure it out. And then everybody else, that gap's gotten way larger than it used to be. And it's just a function of, we talked about before, man, all those other reasons. So I think that's why I think there's such great opportunities for kids who are just committed, man. If you're committed, the bandwidth and talent as you get up in levels really isn't that wide, man. It's not about talent. It's about what goes on above your shoulders. And the more you can learn about that, the more you can take ownership and become the best version of you, man. People have a chance. People want to write themselves off and act like they should be dreaming, man.
Mike Wall.
Follow your dream. Work as hard as you can and get the right tool set to be successful.
Mike, I love your energy, love your tenacity. Dude, the sky's the limit. Anything you need from us, we got your back. Because guess what, brother? Mike Wall, you got next. Sports Life Talk Nation. Don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, leave comments. Go to our IG page at Sports Life Talk. Tag in 5 friends to this video. Slide an IDM. We're sending out free Sports Life Talk t-shirts. We give it back. 2022 has been a blessing to us, so we want to make sure we get that back and show a little bit of appreciation, just in the way of a little drip. You know what I'm saying? Come pick, you know, you can get the Packers colors if you want. Kevin, we can get the Packers colors, can't we?
I mean, yes. I'm going to say no to Mike. I can't look. Man, so yes, Green Bay colors, whatever you want, you got it.
Hey, and Kevin and I, we do perform. We go live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We stream on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, we all over this thing. So come check us out. It's more than just sports. It's about life. It's about comic books. It's about e-gaming. It's about sneakers and tennis shoes. I mean, we talk about whatever come to mind. We laugh the whole episode. We have a great time. So come hang out with us and be a part of Sports Life Talk family. We definitely can appreciate it. Kev, 22-21. Got me doing a shimmy over here, man. I'm going to let you close it out, KT.
Well, I came on a safety blitz, B. Jones, and I got pancaked. So, Mike, thank you so much for rocking with us. We really appreciate it. Everest, thank you. Thank you so much for setting this up. And like B. Jones said, whatever you need from us, we got you, Mike.
Sports. You
hey, no doubt, man. We appreciate it. Sports Life Talk Nation, we love y'all. Stay safe. Be blessed. Respect each other and love one another, because together we are better. And keep dreaming big, no matter who you are, because you never know. Your story may be the next one featured on Sports Life Talks. You got next. Yeet.
See what's crazy is I knew you had next, because you always working, you always grinding, you're in your bag because you're always working. Like, in due time, I knew you got next.
Oh, you did it, huh? Crack the code. You got next, you smashing goals. You want next, you need exposure. Well, Sports Like Talk got the baddest show, like the baddest hot in the room. Podcast to tune into just for you to talk your shit. Talk your mushroom. You want what you eat and you should consume. Sports Like Talk from the late night to the afternoon. Then rest, repeat. Hit the like, leave a comment, or subscribe so you don't miss a beat. You got next, just a small taste of a winning meal from a chef type of celebrity. What's up next is you, at least you better be. Yeah. You got next, yeah. I can feel it, you're a winner just like me. You got next, and what comes next? Tune in next time and you'll see. Cause if you got next, yeah. If you got next, if you got next, then you're just like me. If you got next, if you got next, yeah. If you got next, then you know where to be. I'm talking Sports Life, talking this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.